Hi, I'm Ed Mazur, the chairman of the City Club of Chicago, and at our public policy luncheon this afternoon, we had a very interesting speaker, Cook County Commissioner Bridget Gaynor, who is also the head of the Cook County Land Bank Authority. And we learned that in this last year, more than 400 properties have been acquired by the Cook County Land Bank Authority, of which 350 have been turned over to developers. And these developers are employing local people in rehabbing and selling these properties. And currently, they're working in 13 different neighborhoods and 14 suburbs, all at no cost to the taxpayer at all, the Cook County Land Bank Authority.
Thank you. I'm very grateful to be here today. I'm going to start with a story. So almost 20 years ago, I worked at the planning department at the city. Dave Doig was my boss. My territory was 63rd Street between State and Pulaski, and my job was to try to rethink what had been a bustling commercial strip and at one time even a busier shopping district than Michigan Avenue. So we were doing a very old school version of Google Earth where you take a camera and take a picture and then walk 3 feet and take another picture until you could see the whole block. And I was standing at 62nd and Ada, and I was looking south to Ogden Park, and it was a summer day and the park was filled, and it was doing exactly what it was supposed to be doing, what it was designed to do, serving the neighborhood. But when you looked north onto Ada, it was a very different view. There were vacant lots, homes that had been demoed into the basement and slabbed over, and grass was growing around the concrete. There were a couple of vacant homes and one frame house with an older man sitting on the steps. And even though you could see downtown in the distance, I remember thinking, you know, if someone dropped out of the sky and asked where they were, they'd think it was some small town where the railroad had closed. And it wasn't because of the lack of density or even of the quality of the homes that remained. It was that there didn't look like there was a plan and that nothing was intentional. And that picture has stuck in my mind and really tugged at me ever since. And the thought was that there's got to be a better plan, and whatever that plan is, it has to start on the city block and not just at City Hall. So I want to spend our time here today talking about community, because the Cook County Land Bank is really just a love letter from a neighborhood girl to her city. But first, I want to make a confession. As some of you know, I was born and raised on the Southwest Side. I had a traditional, pretty strict upbringing, probably like a lot of yours. See, they all think you're the easygoing, nice guy. I've since observed that I wasn't raised in a democracy at 10250 South Bell, and it has served me well. I went to St. Barnabas, graduated from Mother Macaulay, and then down to U of I. I worked hard, got good grades. But after graduating from college, I rebelled. I did something nice Southsiders just don't do. I moved to New York City. So now, before you get the wrong idea, I didn't move there for the typical reasons a 21-year-old goes there. I didn't dream of working on Wall Street or want to be on Broadway and had no Frank Sinatra song playing in my head. I went as a volunteer with the Jesuits, living with five other quasi-socialists in a rectory in Crown Heights, Brooklyn. And this was when Brooklyn was still a lot more like The Wire and a lot less like girls. So the way to take the fun out of New York, right? Actually, it was fun, and it was very rewarding. Faith played a central role in helping me make that choice at 21, and I still believe in the power of faith and the necessity of justice. So I became a community organizer. Though this was in 1990, before Barack Obama told us, as he did in his farewell speech just recently, to lace up our shoes and organize, before he would come to make organizing cool. But it wasn't that cool 25 years ago, and it wasn't glamorous, but it was exciting. Our job was to go where people needed us the most. Soup kitchens, homeless shelters, inner city schools. And during the 3 years that I worked in Brooklyn, we built a coalition of parents, community organizations, young people, and churches. We held meetings, protests, attended city council meetings, and together we convinced the Board of Ed to open up school buildings after hours and to create real community centers throughout schools all over neighborhoods in New York. That was a life-changing experience. I learned to organize with people, not at them, about the power of grassroots action, about the strength and purpose that people bring to an effort once they decided it's something they actually have chosen, a problem they have decided to solve rather than one that has been prioritized for them. But New York was not my home, and I missed the place that I loved, which is Chicago. So I came back, and I went to work as an organizer here in Uptown. We started building a coalition using the model developed in Brooklyn, and pretty soon we opened Chicago's first school-based community center at Senn High School. At Senn, I honed my skills of building community and connection from the ground up. My experience as an organizer taught me a lot about what makes for a strong neighborhood. It taught me even more about myself. I realized that it's all well and good to talk about your values, to believe in God, but unless you can point to the ways that your values impact your actions, that it changes your course, then what's the point? And this is something I believe we're all going to get a crash course in, as we have someone who thinks that they're all talk as well as all action. So for me, it came down to a central tenet, and that's human dignity. But what does human dignity look like in a neighborhood context? It looks like empowering people to help themselves, and by challenging the things that get in their way, whether it's the government, the court system, or the free market. You do that by not tolerating things for others that you would not tolerate for yourself. You help break down the barriers that stand in the way of opportunity, and you help build platforms for others to lead. In the time since those early formative years, I've had different careers. I've become a wife and a mother, an elected official, but I still love the magic of building something from the ground up. Put me in a church basement or some classroom, and I know if I'm in a community meeting, no matter how chaotic it gets or how long it takes, it is much more likely to survive the impediments that people face when they are trying to break down the barriers and rebuild their lives and create a place where they can love where they live. And to me, that is central to everything we do in government and in politics. As an elected leader, you can't just wave a magic wand and make those kind of community connections happen. And you certainly can't pass legislation to make people love where they live. But there are steps that we can take to tear down the obstacles that prevent people from using their own efforts, ingenuity, investments, and sweat equity to rebuild their neighborhoods. The Cook County Land Bank is one of those catalysts. Through the efforts of the Land Bank, we are closing the opportunity gap. We are developing small businesses and social entrepreneurship. And more importantly, we're empowering communities to rebuild themselves. When I joined the county board in 2009, communities throughout the county were reeling from the devastating impacts of the financial crisis. Neighborhoods that raised generations of police officers and educators and entrepreneurs were showing signs of despair. As the Great Recession lingered on, more and more communities were pitted with empty lots and no development in sight. More and more homes fell vacant, and banks were unwilling to lend to those buyers even with the ability to do so. These neighborhoods had been devastated by redlining in the 60s, subprime mortgages in the 90s, and the economy's collapse in 2008. They needed the tools to recreate their own self-determination. So something had to be done. We started by building a legal clinic at the courts to give people, most of whom had never seen the inside of the Daily Center or ever hired a lawyer, a fighting chance. I joined with Alderman Dahl to create a city-county vacant building ordinance to break the logjam of the homes that were stuck in the combine of the foreclosure process. But what we really needed to do was change the market. So in 2011, I began to organize, going to ward meetings, churches, block clubs, driving around Chatham with Alderman Harris, sitting with Alderman Austin, matching up local developers and vacant homes, meeting up with Diane Lemus in Albany Park, pastors in Maywood, and going with every one of my colleagues on the county board to their own communities, because there was not one part of the county that was not hit by this. We needed to overcome the credit desert, to topple an appraisal system that was like a new kind of redlining, push Fannie Mae to sell at prices that reflected reality, and insist that the work be done not just by developers with crews that would come and go, but by local entrepreneurs who knew the neighborhood and were invested in it, and where the money would not just pass through, but it would stay. Over time, that new entity became the Cook County Land Bank. So the main work of the Land Bank, the rehabbing of single-family homes and two flats, is largely done by a coalition of small developers, local builders, and rehabbers. This collaboration is key. By giving small businesses and neighborhood partners access to the markets that they live in, we are creating opportunity for wealth and diverse groups that want to be a part of the solution. Their work and partnership is vital to changing the future for neighborhoods throughout the city. And this is possible because I have a great partner in all this, the executive director of the land bank, Rob Rose, and the fabulous staff. Where's Rob? Please stand up. Thank you. So I met Rob at a Sox game 2 months after we had hired the initial director of the land bank. And after about 5 minutes, I knew that I had met my professional soulmate the day after my wedding. But it all ended up working out. And for Rob and the staff, for those of you who know him, you're lucky. He's a powerful combination of serious real estate and financial skills and real heart. So now, after just 3 years, we can talk results. To date, we've made 400 acquisitions, targeted 8,000 tax-delinquent properties, recruited 135 local developers, and sold more than 350 homes in 13 Chicago neighborhoods and 14 suburbs. Yeah. And today we are announcing a new avenue of development, liberating properties that have sat, many for decades, untouchable due to the long-forgotten property taxes, with no owner in sight and no small business or other owner willing to spend thousands in court without knowing if they'll ever make it back. So starting today, on the Land Bank website, 4,000 lots will be available for immediate purchase with clear title from our website. No need to go to court. Available for development right now. These 4,000 will soon be followed by 3,500 properties this spring, which will include industrial sites, commercial buildings, and residential properties, coded by PIN, address, and size, breaking down the barriers, the bureaucracy, and putting properties within the reach of local developers. What's even more remarkable is that since the initial investment from the fines that banks paid in the mortgage foreclosure settlement secured by Attorney General Lisa Madigan, without which there would be no land bank, this operation runs without a single dime from taxpayers, not from the county pension proceeds or other tax revenues. Instead, the land bank is supported by revenues generated from its own transactions. This is important. Not just because we are living in a time of incredible budget pressure, but because it means that the work, buying vacant homes, redeveloping them, and bringing in new families is sustainable. It does not rely on the whim of politicians, foundations, or the federal government. This is a base that is wide and strong and stable. And we believe that this social enterprise, because that's really what the land bank is, has the potential to tap into the desire to invest in Chicago with partners large and small. And I want to give a really special recognition to the support and leadership of President Tony Preckwinkle. She has been a champion of neighborhood economic development her entire career, and more importantly, has created an environment at the county where innovative ideas like the land bank can thrive. But all these facts and figures don't tell the whole story. I'm not a real estate agent or a developer. I'm interested in people, not property. I'm much more motivated by the stories of the men and women who have seized this opportunity, how they developed a home so beautiful it had multiple offers on the first day after sitting vacant for years, how a real estate agent who wanted to try rehab is now a developer with employees, how a weekend rehabber who had looked at vacant homes in his neighborhood for years but could not afford the years and cost of court is now a full-time developer. In each of these cases, no one needed saving and no one needed a handout. The strength was there. What we have done is empower a community solution. Because Chicago right now is confronting two demons: the mismatch between the skills that people have and the jobs that exist, and the violence that is filling the vacuum of that lack of work and lack of opportunity and hope. And there is no amount of social service that can sustain a community or a family or a person if there is no work. It is as much of a social imperative to create meaningful work for people as it is to clothe them and feed them and educate them. And it is not acceptable to tolerate a world in which some people are cut out of the workforce because it is too hard to figure out how to employ them right now. People who have hope don't... Thank you. People who have hope don't pick up guns. People who have options don't pick up guns. But like building the land bank, creating real opportunity and employment opportunities takes time and patience and collaboration. But you have to take the first step. and you cannot go it alone. So with a commitment from Arnie Duncan, now leading the Emerson Collective, the CARA program, and the Chicago Neighborhood Initiatives, Rob and the Land Bank staff assembled 20 homes in Pullman. Emerson recruited 30 young men living in the midst of some of the worst violence in Chicago. Dave Doig and his team, where's Dave? Dave Doig and his team at CNI crafted a plan for redevelopment, and Maria Kim and the CARA program designed a training and job skills to prepare this group for work and beyond. And it's working. We are now 4 months into this. These men continue to work every day on the homes in Pullman, and we know that this is not a coincidence. To some degree, the rehab is only a means to an end. Rebuilding a house is rebuilding a neighborhood, is rebuilding a life. So how do we make this ripple a wave? Rob and I have been reaching out to developers to ask if they would take this pilot and make it permanent, to expand the base of employment opportunities to all the homes bought and sold at the land bank. In short, to be a part of the solution. Because our developer base is deep and it reflects the neighborhoods in which we work. When we had our developer outreach at Columbus Park in Austin, hosted by Amara Enya and the Austin Chamber, and asked who would be willing to hire, with the support of the Emerson Collective, a man who had apprenticed at this project in Pullman, the response was immediate and positive. And I'd like to call out and thank six of those developers who are here today: Esther and Jason Williams, Desiree Rudeau, Carrie Young, Darren Schiffman, and Alan Miller. I know you guys are here. Thank you very much. Good. Ms. Desiree. Okay. As Mary Robinson, Ireland's former president, said when she addressed City Council last fall, we need to start to think about issues of inclusion and social sustainability in our city. We are at a moment of such unprecedented violence that running the normal big city checklist, the educating, the policing, the clearing of snow, the operations of city government, won't stop our decline. The tasks now need to be several steps up that hierarchy of needs. And to make that difference, we have to stop thinking in terms of housing programs and workforce development versus violence prevention. Rebuilding homes is rebuilding neighborhoods, is rebuilding lives. The house isn't just the house. It's a vehicle to get at the work that really matters. Abandoned properties destabilize neighborhoods, drive down property values. Businesses close or they move away. People with marketable skills are forced to leave the neighborhoods and seek work elsewhere. And as a mother, this is personal. I have three children, and I want them to see as much promise in Chicago as I did. I want them to work and thrive and raise their own children here. I will resort to emotional blackmail, but it would be so much less embarrassing for everybody if we came up with a better solution. So now you know the land bank is just a big hedge, so I don't die alone. But let's get back to 62nd and Ada for a minute and see not what is there, but what could be there, what should be there. The land bank has bought over 400 homes and sold 350. 350 homes on 300 or so blocks around the city and the county that now have life inside of them instead of a board up, and they are signs of hope. Tomorrow, we put 4,000 vacant lots into people's reach, neighbors, developers, nonprofits, and this spring, those 4,000 lots are followed by 3,500 properties. It is the first time in the city or the county's history that so many properties have been liberated from a court and a tax system that works against the very thing we say we want, to redevelop our economy, starting with the areas in which people need it the most. These are just dots on a map right now, but think of the possibilities. Urban farms, rehabbed housing, old factories, long obsolete, torn down to make room for the investments of the 21st century. Audra, I got my eyes on you. The possibilities are endless. We know that the solution is not to send in the feds, but to invest in our own people. So, yeah. So what does that mean when we all leave here? And how does that apply to each one of us? If you're a banker, consider to write a working capital loan to some of our developers. Not all of them may look that great on paper, but now they have experience behind them and they have access to projects. Or long-term mortgages to families that have bought houses where we can now measure that the comps have risen and will continue to do so. If you're a builder, would you think about employing some of the young people that graduate from the program with Kara and Emerson? Like the example of Local 150 and Lawndale Christian, that they have made to provide jobs and training to prepare for not just an apprenticeship but a career. If you're a lawyer, you can be an advisor to the developers who are building their business. And if you don't see a direct line between your day job and investing in the neighborhood, there is another solution. A lot of these would-be opportunities are really just problems solved with investment. Start a group. Get 10 people. Put money in a fund. We can point you in the right direction. There are at least that many lobbyists in the room. Put those prodigious talents to work. This is not rocket science. If Rick Perry, our new energy secretary, can go from dancing with the stars to running the nuclear arsenal, then we can figure out how to move a few more homes and a few more people and a few more neighborhoods to the place that they want to be. But why does this really matter? The actions from Washington over the last couple of days had prompted people to ask the age-old question, who is my neighbor? The answer is that I am your neighbor. You are my neighbor. The problems in any neighborhood are the problems for every neighborhood. So even though I may not live by you or know you, that doesn't change a thing. The people in this room can't afford to sleepwalk while parts of the city fall apart. It's wrong, but it's also a waste. This is our city. The growing up we did in her streets and her parks and her parish halls, the schools and the alleys, took us from kids hanging around thinking we had nothing but time to adults who realize that now it's our time to rise to our responsibility and that 2017 must be a better year for kids in Chicago than 2016 was. We are not building walls. We are building neighborhoods so everyone can love where they live. Thank you.
Thank you, Bridget. I think that was really inspiring and gave us a lot of information that many of us were not aware of. Questions. If you have any questions, just hold up your blue card. Our staff, I see one right back here. Members of our staff will come and pick them up. Mr. Clark, I see one in the middle here. Thank you, Jackie. This question comes from Jamie Simone, who's affiliated with the Trust for Public Land. She's interested in how or whether land in the land bank is considered for open space. And if so, how could the Trust for Public Land help?
Absolutely. And there's currently land owned by the land bank that could be for open space, but I think the 4,000 lots that are being released now are perfectly tuned for that. Some of the choice of those 4,000 wasn't just, to go for 20% of what's vacant. It was really to look at what's a half mile from a metro stop or near some other economic driver. And so the stuff was intentional. And there was a lot of thought given to what could make good open space opportunities. So there's places that are contiguous to other parks. They're near schools. So absolutely. And you just contact anyone at the land bank via the website or call the office.
Okay, thank you. This is from Margaret Frisbee, who's with the Friends of the Chicago River. Can land bank properties be used for green infrastructure to manage stormwater runoff and reduce flooding, which could provide ancillary benefits of open green space and wildlife habitat?
Yes, and specifically the land bank partnered with a water reclamation district up in Des Plaines, where we actually took down some homes that had been in a chronic flooding and then built a flood barrier to that. So that's something we are very open to doing.
Thank you, Bridget. This is from a brand new City Club member. Welcome to the City Club, Elizabeth Austin. Put your thinking cap on. What, if any, impact will Hillary Clinton's loss have on other women candidates' decision to run and on the ways they conduct their campaigns? It's a little out of line, but new
first,
member, we
first
have
First two
to...
are easier. So, look, I think that it wasn't just that Hillary Clinton lost, and by the way, she got 3 million more votes, so there's that. So loss is relative. It's also that Donald Trump won. I mean, candidly, I think, you know, the amount of pining over people that you voted against in the past has been tremendous in this last go-round. It's obviously something that I think women have to keep in mind. There's this narrow window that you go through, likable, not likable, funny, not too funny, smart, not too smart. And it's somewhat like an eye of a needle, and she had to walk that line, and we saw in living color how difficult it was for her. I think that it was a pretty unique set of circumstances, and I don't think it speaks to the future of women running for office, at least I hope not.
Thank you, Bridge. Connor Kelly. Connor, where are you? Over there towards the back. From 102nd and Bell?
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah, he's St. Barnabas. Probably Macaulay and maybe the U of I if they let him in. We're U of I alums, so we could take that liberty. The question is, how do you suggest younger people get involved in making a difference in their communities?
That's a great question, and I think that we are going to see the need for us to be active and engaged, increase in the next coming years. You know, there was tremendous rallies. I was at the march in D.C., and I loved being out there. I was there with my daughter and all my sisters. But we can't make that be like the gym on New Year's Day. We have to keep moving and keeping out there and organized. My suggestion to anyone, including young people, is find something that you care about so it can be an issue. You know, paid sick leave, gender equality, something to do with violence, guns. And find out smart people that are working on it. I mean, a couple years ago we launched Off the Sidelines, and it was focused on women and getting them involved, and we found that the best thing to do is just shorten the time between what's my idea and how am I actually going to do anything about it. And the best thing is find some smart people and just make a commitment. I think there's so many choices that people don't want to make a commitment of their time, and that's a mistake because you're missing out on a lot.
Thank you. Are there more questions that should come up here so that we get a chance to ask them? I see another one towards the rear there.
I'll be here all week.
You're going to be here all week?
No,
well, your dad once told me when I told him, you know, I was having something with my telephone lines, some problems. He said, Ed, whatever you do, don't make an appointment for Friday afternoon because you'll be waiting forever. Bill, I really appreciate that. Here we go. This is from Communities United. Properties that are available with cleared title, are any of these properties in areas of opportunity, whatever that is?
I know exactly. Diane and I are long friends. So they are, you know, I mean, areas of opportunity, the land bank tends to go where the market is less strong. So when there's places where there's a lot of activity, we're not there. But we did partner up in Albany Park and Humboldt Park, because one of the dilemmas is you also have to keep housing affordable and to maintain the base for people that are living here now so they don't have to move out of their community when it starts to become attractive to other people. And we did a great 35-unit project there where we were able to acquire housing. And so we will continue to try and do those things because I think it was a great success. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.